Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and 5. I am excited to minister to you. How many were here last week? And how many have been on a journey and the Holy Spirit's been ministering to your heart? Well, my prayer is throughout this time where we're speaking on the Holy Spirit and the Helper, which is the title of our sermon series, is that you're made aware of God's presence and the role of the Holy Spirit within your life. Amen. And as we're going to read here in a few minutes, you've been given power. Someone say power. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and 5, it says this. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Skip down to verse 8. But you will receive power. Someone say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray one more time. Father, take control. I absolutely need you. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Minister to the hearts of your people. I ask that your voice would be heard loud and clear. I pray that you would convict, that you would bring forth breakthrough, and that you would instill us with your power. I need you. I'm asking you, remove anything within my life that is not in right standing with you. I'm asking you to take control because I need you, Father. I pray for your holiness, and I'm asking for a clear mind to minister the word that you gave me. Father, I love you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Well, this morning, I'm pretty excited to minister to you, and we're going to continue with our sermon series, Holy Spirit, the Helper. And over the past few weeks, our church in general, I think we have been, you know, God has been putting our focus towards spiritual things. And I think for many of us, we've been going through spiritual attacks. If you've been there, just kind of wave at me. How many know this is a spiritual thing? Amen. We don't believe in ghosts and goblins. However, spirits are real. And last week, we talked about the role of the Holy Spirit. And today, what I want to do is I want to continue talking about the Holy Spirit and teach what the Lord has been impressing on my heart. And I want to look at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and even the Trinity. I'm going to desire to know what we believe. See, one of the foundational beliefs as a Christian is the doctrine of the Trinity, which means there is one God who exists in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we just sang that song, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. When you look scripturally, you would find that there are a number of scriptures in the Bible that point to the Trinity. If you look at it in John 14, 16, we read it last week, it says Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's about to be crucified on the cross. And at the beginning of John chapter 14, he tells his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Then later on, he tells them that he is going to pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. Someone say another. Meaning a different person. That he may abide in you forever. In verse 17 calls him the Spirit of Truth. So here you look, we see that Jesus is the Son asking the Father to give another helper, the Holy Spirit. If you go down to verse 26, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Here the Holy Spirit will be sent by the Father to testify about Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? Even when you look at the Great Commission, one of the main reasons the church exists, right? You know the scripture. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You following me? You see the pattern here? Now, the reason I bring this out is because many people don't understand what they believe, nor can they find it in Scripture. And for many, they identify with God the Father. They identify with God the Son. But the Holy Spirit is one big mystery. When the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us. He's the one that ministers to our heart. He's the voice that you hear behind the voice. See, the Holy Spirit is the mysterious third person of the Trinity through whom God acts, reveals His will, empowers His people, and makes His presence known to us. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus appears to His disciples. And the Bible tells us that for 40 days He appears to them after He died to prove to them that He was still alive. And on one occasion, as He's sitting with His disciples, He goes on to tell them that wait in Jerusalem for the gift that you've heard my Father promise. Now the gift that the Bible was talking about was the Holy Spirit. When He said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit falls upon you, what He was essentially saying, the gift of the Holy Spirit was an empowerment, an empowering presence that would now be with them forever. See, in the Old Testament, the presence of God wasn't readily available. The Bible says that the curtain was torn, and we have been given access to enter into His presence. Are you with me? Jesus promised that the Father would pour out His Spirit, and that we would receive power. You know, when you look at this word power, it's defined in the Greek as a word called dunamis. Someone say dunamis. It's dunamis power. This power isn't like a worldly power. This dunamis power is power from on high. And that word means strength, power, ability. Dunamis is a moral power and an excellence of soul. Do you imagine having a moral power? Where you would given power from on high to overcome the corruption of this world. See, there are some people that are like, how in the world is this possible? Have you ever asked yourself, it's hard being a Christian? Or have you ever argued like, this is impossible, it's too hard. Come on, somebody wave at me. Right? It's hard. No one said it would be easy, but it's hard, especially living in this day and in this age where the moral standard is at its all-time low. And how many know that if we are going to overcome the world, if we are going to overcome the standard of this world, we got to have dunamis power, which is a moral power. See, dunamis is an inherited power that resides in something by virtue of its nature. Follow me. Dunamis is an inherited power that resides in something by virtue of its nature. This power resides in us by virtue of who God created you to be. The Bible says He created us in the likeness of His image. And because Christ died, guess what? This power, by virtue of the nature and how God created you, lives inside of you. I'm going to ask you to help me preach this morning. God didn't give you a spirit of struggle. God didn't create you to be under your circumstance. He called you to be over your circumstance. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Dunamis power. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us. So I got good news this morning. If you've asked yourself, is this even possible? I want to tell you yes, because according to the scripture, the Bible tells us that this power is already at work in us. It's okay if you're not perfect. It's okay if you have hang-ups. As long as you're focused on change and you're willing to do whatever you have to get closer to your Father, that power is at work in you. Now, right now, you might not feel all powerful. You might not feel like things are working out, but I got good news for you. You ever seen a train? Because a train or a locomotive starts real slow. But once it starts picking up speed, nothing can stand in its way. And there are some of you, you just got to keep pressing. You got to keep striving. You got to keep believing, because your best days are ahead of you. God is able to do more than we can even think or imagine because of the power that He put inside of us. And I feel the need to talk about this because life's pressures, life's anxieties have a way of trying to hold us down. Every now and then we can allow our circumstance to get the best of us and keep us from fulfilling God's potential. You have potential. God created you with the future, and struggle wasn't necessarily part of the equation. People who really know God and get to know the Holy Spirit, they learn to change their perspective, and they learn that, yes, this is a struggle, but this struggle doesn't define me. It shall pass. Are you with me? You know what sometimes bothers me? Can I tell you what bothers me? Thank you. It bothers me when I see Christians who are always struggling and barely getting by. Because God didn't call us to struggle. He called us to be a witness. Are you hearing me this morning? He didn't call us to struggle. He called us to be a witness. The scripture tells us you will receive power when the Holy Spirit falls upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and the other parts of the world. In other words, God didn't call us to struggle. He called us to be a witness. Now, my question to you is this: how can we be a witness to the world if we're always in struggle? If I'm constantly in bondage, how can I be a witness of this power, of this newfounded hope? If my face is always down, if I always got a bad attitude, if I'm always nitpicking, and I'm always telling the people how I hate being at church, or I'm struggling, or people get to me. Come on, don't look at me like that. I mean, no, it's not easy. It's not easy. But I'm talking about being a witness for God, being a good testimony, smiling even when it hurts, because you know your daddy has the power to pull you out of the muck, to pull you out of the mire. Some of you got to get back to a place where you're reminded of what God pulled you out of so that you can smile again. See, what the enemy does, he gets us to forget what God's done for us. Are you with me? The scripture tells us that we will receive power and be a witness to the other parts of the world. And this is why you have to be careful how you live outside of the four walls of the church. Because people watch the quality of our lives. We can just say God changed our life, but it means nothing and renders powerless if we do not live like it. Are you with me? Your actions influence much more than just your soul, but the people within your household. The people in your workplace, are you with me? We're called to be witnesses to the world. We can't just say and talk about how good God is. We got to live it, because 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this: for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but of power. Amen. We got to walk it now. We got to live it. We got to preach all day long and use words if we have to. We can't just talk about what God's gonna do. We gotta be willing to step out in faith if He chooses us to do the task. See, there are some people God speaks to them, but what they do is they pawn the responsibility off on the person next to them. But I'm talking about understanding that the Holy Spirit ministered to our heart, and it's something we gotta work out. Are you with me? 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. That's a heavy scripture. Think about that for a second. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. Understand this. The power of God is provided through godly living. You hear me? You hear me? This is why we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We got to have a relationship with God through prayer and reading of the Word. Because according to this scripture, it's telling us that God has given us divine power for everything that we need in keeping a godly life. Trying to be godly in our society is not easy. And the truth is, if we're going to be effective as a church, we can't rely on our strength. We can't rely on our intuition. We need to rely on the power and on the Spirit of God. We need to get to a place, and I talked about last week how the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, there's more than these, and I'm going to talk about some of them today. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit will guide us in truth. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance His Word when you're in struggle. But we can't listen, and this is what I wish I would have said last week. I was having a conversation with someone, and we were talking about how the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And I was at the house, and I was working on something, and the Holy Spirit ministered to my heart. And He said, I'm not just going to teach you all things. In order to be taught all things, you first have to take the posture of a student. And there's some people, they want the power of the Holy Spirit, but they're not willing to become a student. They're not willing to take the posture of a student, which means humbling our pride, letting go of different issues, and allowing Him, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, what would you do? You know, my prayer life has been changing, and the way I interact with God, I'm not just praying in the morning, but I'm in the car. Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, can you guide me to someone I can talk to? I was the other day doing something with one of my tires in my car, and the Holy Spirit ministered to my heart. He said, minister to that brother. And I walked up to him. I just said, hey, how are you doing? I said, are you from around here? I gave him a flyer, but then I also began to talk to him, just getting to know him, because I want to invite myself into their world. Sometimes we don't do that. We don't take the time to step into someone else's world, but we want to give them facts. Some people are so hardened by this world, they don't want to hear what we got to say. They don't want to know. Listen, people will know if we're genuine or if we're doing something out of duty. And every now and then, because we've had a hardened heart, we can do something. The Holy Spirit says, go minister to them. And we're like, okay, hey, bro, I just want to give you this flyer. I want to invite you to my church. I did it. You hear me? And those of you who have the gift of evangelism, we need you to rise again. I don't want evangelism to be an event in our church. I want it to be a lifestyle where we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if He ministers to us, we're sensitive enough to not only minister to, but give somebody a word. Are you hearing me? Trying to be godly in this society is not easy, but I want to tell you that it's possible. Godly living is made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. John 16:7-9 gives us clarity of the role the Holy Spirit plays in this life. John 16:7-9 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. See, the key word here in this scripture is convict. The Holy Spirit will convict the world. Now this word, because of the society that we live in, you can hear the word convict and we think of it like a condemning or exposing. But that's not what that's not what God was talking about. This word simply means that the Holy Spirit will convince or expose us to truth. And the scripture tells us that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will convince the world of God's truth in three specific areas. Number one, it says that He will convict us or convince us of the sin. What I got to make known to you this morning, and with some of us, we got our theology backwards. Sometimes we get mad at people that are in sin, but understand this, the Holy Spirit is not a condemning spirit. the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn, the Holy Spirit convicts. And this conviction isn't meant to lower the way that you feel or the way that you see yourself. It's meant to expose truth for what it is. And it's that conviction that ultimately changes who we are and causes us to go the opposite way. It was never meant to put somebody on blast. It was never meant to talk down onto somebody. It was meant to be covered in love and expose the truth of who God is. And if we do it with love, the Bible says that love covers the multitude of all sin. See, for some of us, we just got to be consistent. Anybody that desires to be a leader in this church, I want to give you three simple things that you can do to gain influence, not only at your house, at your job, or at your school. Number one, take genuine interest within people. Number two, add value to somebody's life. And number three, be consistent. When was the last time we added value to somebody? When was the last time we were sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just did something for somebody because the Lord Holy Spirit put it on our heart? An act of kindness, an encouraging word. Maybe for you it's sacrifice. Because we're so caught up on our routine and God is saying, I just need you to break this thing. Because I got something for you to do. And in responding, not only will God do a work within you, but He'll do a work within the people around you. Thank you. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn people. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. In other words, He makes known the truth about sin. See, conviction is the only way we become aware of sin and the fact that we need a Savior. I was thinking back and really pondering this, and I was remembering my life. I didn't grow up in church, and I remember it was a message like this. The pastor was preaching about how I can overcome, how God has a plan for my life. And I remember sitting there, and he was preaching the gospel. And when you hear the gospel, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as I was listening to the gospel, I hadn't grown up in church, but I sat there, and all of a sudden the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I realized that there were things that inside me that weren't right, and I realized this doesn't please God. And I remember the pastor made the altar call. Something inside of me changed, caused me to go to that altar. I've never been the same. But when I look back at why I changed, it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because I was open. You gotta be open to the work of God. You don't gotta be perfect. You just gotta be open and you gotta be willing. The Holy Spirit can rearrange and change your entire situation if you're just willing to be open and respond. See, no one ever comes to believe in Jesus as Savior without first coming to the conviction that he or she needs a Savior. And this is the Holy Spirit's job. He exposes truth. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can declare that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Let me throw the responsibility on us as the church for a second. Can I do that? Are we in this together? If it's only through the Holy Spirit that one can come to the knowledge that Jesus is Lord, do you see the value in getting to church early and praying and setting an atmosphere? See, some of you, you've been around for a while now and you're no longer a novice. And it's time to step up and take the reins of a parent spiritually as newborn spiritual people come in. It's time for us to take the step in the direction where we're going to help people. But I bring this up to say this. Imagine if it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring someone to the knowledge that he's Lord, but they walk into the church and we're full of strife. We're full of anger. We're bickering and battling with one another. We're always in the flesh. We're not thinking in the spirit. People will feel that. For when you have a bad day, someone else is going to be up. They step up for you. And what you couldn't do in your strength, you will do in the strength of the Holy Spirit, because the people of God, the saints, came together. They set an atmosphere and they asked the Holy Spirit to do a work. And as a result, there is power in the building. I'm talking about raising up a church understands the power of the Holy Spirit that prays, not just on Wednesdays, not just on Sundays, but develops a relationship in understanding the role that we play in the big picture. Are you with me? See, conviction is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know what conviction is? Conviction is that feeling that you get when you do something that you know is wrong. Who's ever been there? Maybe we lash out. Maybe they give us change for a 50 and we only gave them a 10. Come on, somebody. Money's tight. True story. One time I gave somebody a $10 bill at Ross. They gave me change for 100. Now, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I would have been like, the Lord done bless me. Come on, somebody. I would have been like, man, I was short $80 on my pair of shoes. Come on, somebody. At 40, I was willing to spend $1.20. Amen. I just got extra money. In my early days. But I remember I was living in SeaTac, and I went and I started counting money. I said, where did I get all this money? You know what's not hilarious, but you know what's amazing? The Holy Spirit quickened my spirit. The young lady gave you extra money. Now, I was already at my house. I didn't want to leave the house. It was cold and it was raining. Come on, somebody. But I responded to the Holy Spirit and I went back and I said, young lady, you gave me this extra money. No, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. I only gave you a 10. You gave me change for 100. Talk about responding to the Holy Spirit with integrity. Being committed to living in truth. Not living a nonchalant Christianity or a tolerant Christianity. Listen, I don't care. And you know what? I won't lie to you. Sometimes as pastors, we fall into the pressure of, well, they're too strict over there. I'm not too strict. I know that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord, and He's going to hold me accountable for the words that I preached. So therefore, I got to preach the truth, because if not, I'm going to answer to Him. You can get mad at me. But some of you can't live a tolerant life anymore. I don't care if they drink. You can't. And I'm not saying that as a, you can do what you want. I just know what I believe. What I'm saying is some of you cannot do it because you're not just going to have it. You were the one at the party that after when nobody was looking at the family party, you going to drink that? Oh, they got the hard stuff in the kitchen. Let me get back there. You can't live a tolerant life. There are some of you, you can't go back to the neighborhood. You can't go back to certain friends' houses because of the lifestyle and the way that you live. I don't care if it's okay for them. It's not okay for you because of where God wants to take you. I was having a conversation with someone the other day. And listen, this day we've got a problem and something that we need to face. This is why we need godly leaders. Listen, I get it. The children of today, there's a lot of liberty. They'll say this. Listen to me. Holiness never changed. The equation to gain God's anointing, the price hasn't been discounted in this day. I don't care about the standard of this world. For your life, you want to walk in power? You want to make a difference? You got to walk with conviction in your life. Are you with me? I have to live a certain way because I want the power of God. I want to see miracles. I want to be able to lay my hands on people and bondages be broken. I want to be able to go to the hospital, lay my hands, and believe it within my spirit that God can do it. If He did it then, He can do it today. I believe in miracles. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of you got to step out. And the only reason you're not walking in power, because there's some things inside of you that God can't work. Are you hearing me? When we make a commitment to know God, read the Bible, things that at one time didn't bother you will begin to bother you. Now listen, Christianity to me is not a book of laws. Walking with God, this isn't a law thing. I don't have to do it. I do it because I love Him. I don't just do things because I have to at the house. I love my wife. I do it because she doesn't like certain things, so I got to change. But sometimes we're unwilling to change even with our spouses. How much more for God? Are you with me? Am I talking about some real things? I'm talking about changing because of true love. not out of guilt. You can change out of guilt, but that ain't going to last you. All that is a Band-Aid on the problem. So you'll change for a little bit, but how many know Band-Aids wear? What you need is a complete healing from God. What you need is to get in a place where the Holy Spirit is active and He can not only heal the wound, but remove the pain, even remove the sight, even remove the memory of what's happened. I'm almost done. In this church, we place a huge emphasis on reading your Bible because the Word of God, catch this, the Word of God is Holy Spirit inspired. And if the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of truths, how are we going to live out the truths if we're not seeking them? Are you hearing me? You can't just take my word for it. You got to seek it for yourself. This is why we have the podcast. I would challenge some of you. Go to the podcast when you're struggling. Go find that word that God gave you and listen to it. I don't care who you listen to, but just make sure you know what you're listening to. Because there's a lot of good fluffy preachers out there. And if you're not careful, you'll follow doctrines. We don't need good messages. Those of you who desire to preach, we don't need good messages. We need God-inspired messages. We don't need a good thing. We need a God thing. Amen. Second, he says the Holy Spirit will convict us of righteousness. Now, when I first read this, I thought, well, like, wow, God's going to convict me because I'm in sin. That's not what it means. Righteousness means having a right standing with God. Remember, the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us for our sins. He convicts us. So when the Bible says he will convict us of righteousness, what he's referring to is the fact that we can live a righteous, powerful, filled life. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring to remembrance that you can walk in power, you can walk in victory, and that righteousness is possible. Is it interesting that righteousness means right standing with God? And that God is seated on the throne and Jesus is sitting at the right hand. And the Holy Spirit was sent here on earth in corruption, in confusion, to remind us, though we be condemned by this world, we are in right standing with God. God died for you. When he was on the cross, he thought about you. So I get that sometimes we mess up and do things, but some of you got to stop hating yourself. Because you're good. When God created you, he said you were good. You were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You got to know that you're in right standing with God. But some of you just got to get to your word or even ask the Holy Spirit, can you tell me what you think about me? I go through things like that. Coming up in the Lord, I had complexes. But you know what changed my life? I got to a place where I said, God, can you tell me what you think about me? Pray that prayer. I dare you. And naturally, I know I confident, but I second guess myself. But when I start thinking and I start asking, God, will you show me what you think about me? He shows me greatness. Now, I'm not puffing myself up because I know what I'm incapable of doing. But when I trust him and I know it's his plan, I can step into it even if I don't know what to do. Even if I don't know the plan, because according to the Bible, it tells me that he will teach me all things. Are you with me? Thank you. In a world that is constantly condemning us, the Holy Spirit reminds us that righteous living is possible. 2 Corinthians 5:2, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God already died. He died for your sin. He died for the forgiveness of your sin. So stop beating yourself up over it. Get around somebody who will encourage you. And I will say this. I feel led to say this. Some of you got to get around people that are positive. Your situation's never going to change if all you do is go to somebody that gives you negative advice or that has a sour face all the time. And then subliminally put stuff on Facebook to get to you. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. Huh? That's not how we communicate in the church. That's not what we do as believers. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. We are called to love one another as he loved. That means unconditional. I know that I got some things. I know you got some things. But I'm talking about building tolerance. I was about to say building tolerance. That's what I mean by that. Sometimes people around you will make dumb decisions. Don't flip your wig over it. Be patient with them. Love on them. Show them they still matter. For all we know, their background, the reason they keep falling into that, because it's bondage from generation to generation to generation. Their great-grandfather, their father. And then now, all of a sudden, their children are growing up in that. You need to speak to their future. You need to tell them who they are. You need to remind them that God died on the cross and that he's not here to condemn us, but we're here to be his righteousness. But the church got to get to a place where they are doing what God has called them. All right, number three, and I'll end with this. The Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment. So he convicts us of sin, he convicts us of righteousness, and he convicts us of judgment. Now, in order to truly understand what this means, you have to read one scripture later. In John 16:11, he says, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 11 says, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. In other words, the Holy Spirit isn't here to remind you of the judgment seat. That's not what he's talking about. He's here to remind you that the enemy has been defeated. Your foe that's causing strife in your household is up. The Holy Spirit comes to remind you of the judgment that has been passed down to Satan. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Listen to me, church. My prayer is that you learn to engage in a relationship with the Holy Spirit through prayer and reading of his word. God is omnipresent, which means he is simultaneously everywhere. The Bible even says in Psalms 139:7-10, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, woe, you are there. There is no deepest, darkest secret that you can keep. God is there. And he loves you. Don't try to hide sin to please man, because at the end of the day, God knows your name. The Holy Spirit is ready to guide and to help. And I end with this. I read this last week. We all have a desire to hear the voice of God. And the truth is, we long for him to speak to us, but sometimes we get frustrated because we don't know what he's doing and we don't know what he's trying to communicate to us. But Robert Morris, in his book, The God I Never Knew, wrote this. Hearing God's voice is vital to breaking out of the old comfort zone and into exciting levels of effectiveness. Hearing God and responding to him can take us to new places of intimacy and purpose in him. Hearing God's voice begins with recognizing which member of the Trinity is tasked with speaking to us in this season in history. It is, of course, the Holy Spirit, because the Father is on the throne. Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God, and according to Hebrews 10:12, he is seated and he will remain at the right hand of God till the enemies are his footstool. The Holy Spirit, however, is active and present and commissioned to interact with us on earth today. See, the reason most people aren't sure if they're hearing the Holy Spirit's voice is because they have not engaged or embraced the member of the Trinity whose job it is to speak to them. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to you today. He wants to minister to you at your house. But you now have to engage in a different way. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect a breakthrough. You now have to go after the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning.